Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Adrian Bugatti and I'm talking winter foods. I'm talking about tips for meal planning and timing, some gadget reviews, and obviously my usual winter recipes, which are soups. So lots to talk about today. Like I said last week, winter is here. It's cold. The flu that is going around at the moment is absolutely ridiculous. People are sick for weeks on end. So my first thing is, please just remember to wash your hands. Pretend it's COVID. Wash them, and wash them again. So it's an important thing because that is one of our biggest ways to prevent the spread of infection, especially if you're the one preparing all the food. It's quite amazing. We don't think about how dirty our hands get. You go out to the shops, you come home, and you just start preparing supper, lunch, whatever you're preparing. Washing your hands is very important. If you've been to the grocery store, those cans have been sitting in storage for I don't know how long. Then they're on the shelves where there's dust. And for those who go to certain shops, you'll see sometimes there's even birds inside. And those are, it's a big problem. It is the spread of disease. So it's an important part of taking care of ourselves for winter. Now, there are quite a few things that I wanted to talk about. Like I said, I'm going to do some reviews. So I want to ask you guys if there's any gadgets or anything that you'd like us reviewed specifically for the kitchen. We're not doing anything else because it's for cooking. And if I have the gadget, then please feel free to WhatsApp us, SMS us. So you can SMS on 34519. You can send a telegram on 061-895-1019. Or you can call in on 087-055-1818. And if I have the gadget at home, I am more than happy to review it and to give you my honest opinion. Remember, the reviews that I'm doing on the show are not sponsored. They are my own opinion. So the first thing I'm talking about, obviously, is the foods that are going to boost your immunity for winter. It's very important. We run around, we're busy all the time. Like I said, the flu is going around, and now we heard on the news this monkeypox, which is unlikely for most of us to get it because it is quite a unique thing. But the best way to prevent is to wash. Now, the first fruit or vegetable or item that I'm talking about are berries. We are lucky here in South Africa. We have some amazing fruit and vegetables grown locally, and when they're in season, they are amazing. And specifically now are blueberries. Blueberries are very low in sugar, and they are packed full of antioxidants. But so are strawberries and goji berries. And for those who do eat them, blackberries and raspberries. They are delicious. They can be used for adding to your oats for breakfast. They can be used in smoothies. They can be used in all sorts of different ways, including desserts. Although with the desserts, we tend to add sugar, so it kind of defeats part of the purpose. But blueberries specifically have a flavonoid called anthocyanin. Now, this is very high in antioxidants, and antioxidants can help boost your immune system. So they play an essential role specifically in respiratory tract infections and immune defense. And that's colds and flu for the season. So having lots of berries, just a handful every single day, is definitely going to help you boost your immunity. Researchers have also found that people who eat foods that are rich in flavonoids are less likely to get upper respiratory tract infections and common colds than those who don't eat them. So if you have to hide the blueberries in something, do so. Remember, cooking out your fruit and vegetables does tend to denature them quite a lot and remove quite a few of the nutrients. So when you're like cooking something like vegetables, I was always taught as a student, you should better drink the water than the actual eat the vegetable, because by the time you've boiled them, all the nutrition is now in your liquid, which is why soups are so good. So that's an important thing. The second one that I want to talk about is something I've used a lot. It's called turmeric, and we'll get back to turmeric in a moment.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
Hi, I'm Adrian Bugatti, and we're talking about immune boosters for winter. So I was talking about turmeric. Now, I've spoken about turmeric over the years regularly because it is such a huge benefit to have in your cupboard. It just isn't amazing. Besides the yellow that it gives to a pinch of turmeric in your rice, gives your rice a little bit of color. It gives curries the yellow color. You know, it's just a really amazing, amazing spice to have in your pantry. It is quite bitter, so you only need a little bit of it. That is the problem. And it's been used as an anti-inflammatory for centuries. So it's got curcumin, which may improve a person's immune response and even act as an antiviral. Now, antivirals are extremely important when you're fighting colds and flu. So that's an important part of the turmeric. So besides making your boring old white rice look interesting, it does definitely help you. The next one is omega-3s. Now, omega-3s are from fish, specifically fatty fish, that we all love and use on a regular basis. Some of them we can't afford and some we can. So salmon, tuna, trout, sardines, mackerel, and herring. Those are the biggest oily fishes and the omega-3 fatty acid sources. And they've got many health benefits. Omega-3 has been touted to help heart health, to increase a decreased plaque buildup in your arteries. So if you're suffering from cholesterol, it's a good thing to be eating or taking the supplements if you don't like fish. To being very good at reducing inflammation and lowering the risk of blood clots. Now, you do need to be careful with this, obviously. If you are allergic to fish, don't take the omega-3s. You know, it's just that simple because that's where it's from. There are fruits and vegetables that do have omega-3 in them as well, but they're not quite the right quantities of omega-3 that would be beneficial for our immune system. And, you know, this thing, omega-3s have been documented from, like I said, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and anything else that reduces the body's inflammation as a great immune booster. So if you've got arthritis, helping to fight colds, you know what? A tuna salad. Quick, easy to make. My kids think it's ridiculous, but my favorite is sardines on toast. It is one of my comfort foods. We're Jewish. Herring. Shabbos herrings. They're all fantastic fish to eat. Mackerel is a beautiful fish. The problem is how many bones we have in them. And, you know, we're not used to eating unusual fish. We've gotten used to eating hake or other white fish. We've got used to eating tuna, trout, and salmon. Those are common things. People aren't used to eating mackerel. It's not sort of in our culture, I think, more than anything else. And yet it's very Mediterranean in origin. So give mackerel a try. In fact, mackerel is often used to make mock chopped herring. We used to use the middle cut, if I remember correctly. We used to get canned middle cut of mackerel, and that was used to make a mock herring, and it was delicious. So that's another thing. Now, citrus. We all know that they tell you to drink the orange juice because it's really good in vitamin C. But the funny thing is that tomatoes have more vitamin C than your citrus. But that's not to say you mustn't have citrus. The vitamin C that's produced in citrus is very important. We do not, as humans, naturally produce or store vitamin C. And that's one of the reasons why we need a daily dose of it. Vitamin C increases the production of white blood cells, which are crucial in fighting infections. The great news is that all citrus fruits are very high in vitamin C. So if you're squeezing lemon over your chicken, you're getting your vitamin C. You don't need to specifically eat your orange. You can have a grapefruit. It's still got vitamin C. And just for you know, the lime in your tequila is not your vitamin C. But lime is a high in vitamin C, you know, fruit. So any citrus is great. And one of the good things about vitamin C is you can have your grapefruit or your orange or your lemon or your lime, whatever you want, plus take a supplement. The good thing about it is that what excess there is passed through the body. It is not toxic. But you shouldn't be taking more than, at most, 2,000 milligrams a day. So most tablets will come in either 500 or 1,000. And that's perfectly adequate to increase your intake of vitamin C. One of the important things about vitamin C, though, is our body doesn't absorb it as easily. And it's always important to try and have something green when you can with your vitamin C. So broccoli, broccoli, spinach, kale, any of those will help you increase the intake of your, and the absorption, should I say, of your vitamin C. Obviously, if you are on blood thinning medicine, please be careful and avoid the bright green vegetables. They are not healthy for you and can increase your clots. The next one is broccoli. Now, up until recently, broccoli has been a problem in South Africa. Kosher, for those keeping kosher, we don't eat broccoli. You can now buy checked broccoli. So you can now serve your beautiful broccoli. And one of my favorites is a broccoli and cheese soup. Now, I haven't made that in a long time. I don't have the recipe handy. But broccoli is crammed full with vitamins and minerals, including vitamin A, vitamin C, and vitamin E, as well as potent antioxidants such as, okay, this one I'm going to probably make a mess of, sulforaphane, making it one of the healthiest vegetables to eat. The key to this superfood is that you want to cook it as little as possible and eat it raw if possible. Now, if you aren't a fan of uncooked crunchy broccoli, well, then steam it the best way. Obviously, like I said, when you're cooking vegetables, all the nutrition goes into the water, so drink the broccoli water. But remember to check your broccoli carefully because they do get insects inside, and it is an important thing. Now, one of the things about broccoli, which is fantastic, is once again, it has antihistamine properties, which means if you've got blocked noses, if you suffer from hay fever, any of those kind of things, broccoli is perfect for it. And you can have the tender stems, which I must admit I haven't seen for a while in the shops, because I do look out for it because my family like it. And then you can buy the new broccoli. The next vegetable is very underrated. It has so many good qualities. And in fact, I've got it growing in my garden and I can't wait for harvest time. So sweet potatoes, whether they're the orange ones or the white ones, it doesn't matter. If it's a yam or if it's just a plain sweet potato, they are huge in beta carotene, which is an excellent source of vitamin A. Beta carotene is, once again, an antioxidant. It gives the skin of the sweet potatoes that orangey-purple color, and it keeps your skin healthy, as well as offering protection against skin damage from the ultraviolet rays, which are very important in South Africa because our UV count here is quite high.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
You're listening to Adrian Bugatti today, and I'm talking foods that boost our immunity. So things like sunflower seeds. Sunflower seeds are full of nutrients, including selenium, phosphorus, magnesium, vitamins B6 and E. And vitamin E is a very powerful antioxidant, and it's a key to a healthy immune system. Just like antioxidants, vitamin E improves your immune function to help fight off free radicals, which can damage cells. Other foods that are high in vitamin E include dark leafy greens and avocados. Now, avocados, believe it or not, are really, I've started doing it, not often, because avos are not exactly cheap, but using it instead of butter. It's got the right fatty feel to it when you put it in your mouth. It has, if you put it on thin enough, you can't even taste it. You can have it with anything. It's actually surprising. I was doing a taste test with it a while ago, and I used it instead of butter, and then I put some strawberry jam on it, and I couldn't taste any avo. So it's a healthier option than having your butter or your margarine. And I have to admit that I am not a margarine fan. I would rather go without than have margarine. But that's just me. Margarine is obviously useful when it is, you know, when you can cook with it so that you've got dairy-free products. So it's an important part of our daily intake. Now, for those of you who are gluten intolerant, as expensive as almond flour is, almonds are huge in vitamin E. Once again, boosting your immune system. They've got manganese. They've got magnesium, which helps you sleep. They've got fiber, and they've got healthy fats. It is a superfood, okay? And you only need about a half a cup to get your daily intake of vitamin E. So having a handful of almonds every day for those who live a normal lifestyle, who don't have health issues, go for it. It's fantastic. The next one is also one I've spoken about 100 times. My house, there is always garlic available, whether it's sitting in oil, olive oil, or frozen, like mashed and frozen in little cubes, or fresh. It is always in my house. It doesn't only add the zing in your food, so your flavoring and stuff. It is a must-have for your health. Even early civilizations realized that garlic is perfect for fighting infections. It slows down the hardening of arteries, so great for cholesterol. It lowers your blood pressure. It seems that garlic is also immune booster properties and antiviral and antibacterial properties. So you can use it to fight infections, whether they're bacterial infections or viral infections. If you start your winter season off with garlic in your food, your family is guaranteed to be a lot healthier for winter. I'm not saying they're not going to get sick, but there is a very good chance that the severity of their cold or flu will be much less and, you know, of a shorter duration. And quite frankly, with the flus lasting weeks now, it might be not be a bad thing. The other thing is that I've spoken about, and once again, this is one of my winter foods, ginger. Ginger is another age-old recipe, and it's been used from sore throats and inflammatory illnesses. So often when you're sick, we tell you, you drink a ginger and honey tea, and it really, really does help. In fact, the clinics, I remember as a student nurse, we used to give it out in the clinics as a cough syrup, almost. It was sort of previously boiled water, obviously, with honey and ginger and lemon in the bottle to take to soothe your throat and to help with colds and flu, because those are really good combinations to have, and you don't need a lot. Now, it's a very important thing to know that ginger is also one of your sources of vitamin C. And I've used it in chicken soup, obviously in curries, obviously in Thai-style stir fries, but ginger can be used all over. Your ginger cakes, all of those things. Just remember, once again, cooking it out does lower the amount of vitamin C that's left in the actual herb. So when you're using it in a stew or a soup or something like that, all your nutrients are in that liquid, and it really improves the value of what you're cooking. The next one is spinach. Now, spinach is not everybody's thing, but I'm very happy with with baby spinach. I find it great. And spinach is healthiest when it is cooked as little as possible. So we've often seen these salads with the papaya and the spinach and the almonds. What an amazing healthy salad with a lemon poppy sauce, you know, poppy seed salad dressing over it. Yes, it's old fashioned and it's from long ago, but what a great winter salad to have. So really something to look at, because spinach, once again, vitamin C, vitamin E, and it's full of beta-carotene. Now, as with all green vegetables, I said earlier that if you are on blood-thinning medication, please be careful when eating this, because it can cause clots. That's the vitamin E. The next one, which is not my favorite, because I find that the South African yogurts are actually quite bitter. But yogurt is fantastic for vitamin D. And, you know, you keep looking for ones that have got fortified vitamins in your packaging, you know, or live and active cultures. And they, with your immune system, can help and regulate the source of your infections and things. It's also very good when you are on antibiotics to be having some yogurt. And you could add, like, plain yogurt instead of sugar, add some berries and some seeds and a bit of a honey, and you've got the perfect breakfast. Now, the last one I want to talk about is chicken. We all know chicken soup. Everybody tells you chicken soup is the best thing for when you are sick. Well, There's a reason for this. They've actually done studies on why chicken soup makes you feel better. There is no actual reason or, you know, it's not a magic food. But what it is your chicken is high in vitamin B. That's an antiviral. And it helps your red blood cells as well. The next is you're using fresh or frozen vegetables. And believe me, frozen vegetables are fine. You cooking it all up over a long time, you've got your flavoring. So you've got all these things where I said, like when you cook the vegetables, the vitamins leach into the liquid. Well, there's your chicken soup. And so you're having a good combination of protein, which is your chicken, which helps your body as well recover from illnesses. So the studies have shown that actually it does help. Vegetables like your carrots and your onions. Onions are a good cold fighter. Your garlic, if you're putting it in. The herbs, some of them. My bay leaf, which I'm going to talk about later. And all those things are absolutely amazing for when you are sick. So my idea of this is, and my mother taught this to me, is to make your chicken soup. And then if you just need it for emergencies, she used to take a plastic bag or freezer bag. She used to put it inside a 250ml cup. And she used to pour the cooled down chicken soup into that and then seal it and freeze it. Now, you can freeze them flat and stack them up very nicely in your freezer to take out and defrost as and when you need it. So, thanks. So it's a very, very good thing to do. Remember, a balanced, healthy diet is best, and the key is proper health and nutrition. So I'm going to talk about some of that. We talk about meal prepping and everything, and everybody learns, okay, you've got to do this. And we've all gotten used to breakfast is at this time, and lunch is at this time, and dinner is at this time, and you shouldn't eat after 7 o'clock, all those things. But people are changing the way they live their lives. People are going to sleep later, waking up earlier. Some people are working from home. Some are going to the office. So all the meal planning that we've all been taught kind of needs to change. Everybody's got kids with extramurals running around. You've got things to do. You're in meetings. You're not going to have time to stop for lunch. Or you've got a business lunch at a restaurant. All of those things are part of your meal planning. And if you're doing, say, like intermittent fasting, you're not going to eat at the normal times. You're going to eat as per your schedule. So it's a very important thing. Now, I've done it because I have my most energy in summer, so I'll get up at like 4 a.m. sometimes and just make food. There's nothing wrong with it. Nobody said you had to make supper at 6 o'clock. You can make supper at 10 a.m. in the morning and keep it ready for 6 o'clock. And now with it's winter, it's time to keep that slow cooker out all the time, like every day, because stews and soups in the slow cooker are the perfect like kitchen gadget for a family that is busy and on the go. Stews and soups both benefit from longer cooking. The flavor is enhanced. The meat is more tender. It's just a great thing. Yes, it may make your vegetables a bit mushy, but that's okay. We can live with that. But it's great for if you've got it out on the counter, kids who are coming home from school at different times, whether it's primary school or nursery school, high school, university, they can just go and help themselves out of the pot or get someone to dish up. It's there all the time. The only thing with the slow cooker you do need to know is that every time you open the lid, you do adjust the temperature and it can bring it to boil. So try not to do it, like keep it off for too long. It's really, really a good thing. And most slow cookers have either a low setting, which means it'll stay low, or they've got an auto setting, which means you cook on high for 2 and then it automatically changes down to low. So that's an important thing. If you've got a gas stove or something, I have a little ring thing that's called a diffuser or something. You put it on the gas and it spreads the heat out more evenly so you can keep one of the low burners going and your pot on the stove without your food burning too quickly. You just do need to keep an eye on it. You can't keep it there without checking periodically to make sure it hasn't dried out or burnt. And, you know, like I said, preparing your meals whenever you've got the energy works best if you've got 2 issues. 1, you don't like winter. That's me. I don't want to be in my kitchen at 6 o'clock at night. It's cold. I'm happy to be cooking at 10. If you hate cooking, then going into the kitchen to make a meal when you have your highest energy levels is probably better. So if you're a winter person, then the evenings are great. You can make lunch for the next day. That's not a problem. You can, in fact, prepare for the whole week. That's up to you. So that's why stews are a really great thing. Wraps are also ideal for on-the-go meals, and they don't have to be filled with salad. They can be filled with chicken, with beef, with beans, with cheese, and even egg. It gives them high protein, good energy release for people who are on the go. Put in some sunflower seeds for the extra, you know, vitamin boost. Why not? It doesn't have to be, you know, what, salad. That's old-fashioned. You see the fast food places with their wraps with pieces of chicken in it. You can even do a fish wrap if that's what you want. It's really, really good. Now, I'm going to do two minestrone recipes. They are nutritious and they are perfect for winter. In fact, they're like a full meal in one pot, which is always a good thing. Now, this is an old recipe and I am struggling to find the cans of condensed soup, but I did see some the other day at Kosher World. So it takes one can of curried mixed vegetables, two cans of condensed soup, milk or water for mixing. You use the can for measuring and you use two full cans, and a cup of uncooked macaroni, or if you save, which I do, is the bottom of the spaghetti, you know, when you decant it or when you put it, take the packet open, there's always little bits left. That's also great to save that, perfect to add to your minestrone soup. So in a pot, you're going to obviously empty the cans of soup and your can of vegetables. You're going to fill your two cans with the water or the milk, it depends on what you're making, and pour it into the pot. You're going to stir it in, mix it well. You can add the macaroni now, and you bring the soup and the macaroni to boil, stirring constantly so it doesn't stick to the bottom of the pot, and then turn down the heat and simmer until the macaroni is, we call al dente. It's not mushy, but it's not still crunchy. And it's a great soup. Now, I often serve this with grilled cheese toast. So a grilled cheese toast for South Africans basically is an open toast cheese sandwich. So you've got the toast, you've got your cheese on top that's been melted. You can do it with a toasted cheese sandwich, and you've got all your nutrition for the day. It's important to know that this is already mostly cooked vegetables, and that's why you add the macaroni right at the beginning, because it's already cooked, it's going to take a few minutes. It's important that there's another, that if you want to use a more long-term version of this, then the macaroni or your pasta goes in right at the very, very end, because you want it to not turn mushy, as I said. The next soup is also a minestrone soup. Now, this is a very, very healthy soup. This is a soup I've been making for years, and it's adapted from a book called Eating for Sustained Energy by Lisbeth Davenport and Gabby Steenkamp. And their book is all about low GI, so it's very good for diabetics and things like that. And you can make this anytime. You can put soup into the flask to take to school or a flask to take to work, you know, and it's just great nutrition. So the first things are obviously oil, 5 mL of oil, 2 chopped onions, 2 cloves of garlic crushed, or you can use 2 minced teaspoons of garlic. Now, I've got the frozen garlic, so I would do that, but you can also buy the squeeze bottle if you want. It's just a little bit more expensive. A tin of butter beans, drained, not the ones in tomato sauce. You don't need extra tomato sauce, and those ones have a lot of sugar in them, so you just want the plain ones. A cup of 4 teaspoons of stock powder and 6 cups of water. If you're not using powdered stock, you can use a stock cube. 2 carrots diced. You can actually use frozen carrots, by the way, or slightly limp carrots. They make beautiful additions to your soup rather than wasting. 2 sticks of celery sliced, 2 baby marrows or zucchinis chopped, 3 tomatoes diced, a cup of durum wheat pasta shapes. Like I said, I save the broken pasta and add it then, or you break up some small spaghetti pieces or even some macaroni. 2 teaspoons of chopped flat leaf parsley And if you're using dried parsley, it's a 1 teaspoon. And then salt and pepper to taste. You're going to heat the oil in a large pot. You're going to add your onion and garlic, and you cook it for 5 minutes until it's soft. Then you add your beans, your stock, your water, and you simmer those for 15 minutes. Add your vegetables and simmer them for another 30 minutes. Now, simmering means you've brought it to boil, you've brought down the temperature, and it's just cooking. It's not bubbling, it doesn't boil over. The boiling would actually ruin it and probably just run out of water quickly. You're going to add the pasta 15 minutes before you're going to serve, and you simmer that uncovered. And once again, until your pasta is tender, and then you can stir in your fresh parsley or your dried parsley. Because the parsley is dried, you can actually add it at any stage. If you're using fresh parsley, it needs to go in at the end. And then you season to taste. So your salt and pepper gets adjusted now, and you serve it how your family likes it. Now, you can make the soup meat by adding some beef or lamb macon. If you're going to use the lamb macon, fry it up a little bit beforehand so that you get the fat, and then don't use the oil to fry your onions and garlic. You're going to use the fat from the meat. And you can also add marrow bones. Marrow bones are beautiful. Even if you don't actually eat the marrow from the bone, it adds the protein from the meat. It adds the nutrition from the meat into the soup. So you can just serve the soup without the marrow bone. I'm Adrian Bugatti.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Hi, I'm Adrian Bugatti. And now I'm going to talk about a herb that I see in most recipes these days has kind of fallen by the wayside. And I was actually watching a cooking show a while ago where they had two chefs cooking as well as home cooks. And they were talking about the benefits of this herb in their food. And that herb is bay leaves. Now, we've used bay leaves for years. Bay leaves have so many different uses. One of the non-food uses, by the way, is to keep big bugs out of your food cupboard. So if you've got a pantry cupboard, put a few bay leaves lying around, and it seems to keep the bugs away. But believe it or not, bay leaves can be made into a tea if they're crushed down and steeped. Please be careful when doing these kind of things, checking that it doesn't interfere with your health conditions. Because bay leaves are often used to treat respiratory problems. So once again, great in winter season for flus and colds and things like that. Now, as I said, bay leaves are sort of like fallen by the wayside. But in the show I was watching, they were trying to work out, like, does it make a difference? Like, is it worth it? Does it do anything? And quite frankly, yes, it does. I can't tell you what it does, but it definitely changes the flavor. You're going to remove it before you serve your curry or your stew or your soup or whatever you've used it in. But you put it right at the beginning so that while everything's cooking, the nutrients come out of your bay leaf. Plus, it takes on the, you know, flavors your food a little bit and gives it some great things. Now, bay leaves can be added to soups, like I said, stews. If you make your own pasta sauce or tomato sauce, you can add that. And it just really helps. If you are suffering from hair loss, apparently that helps as well. It helps apparently for dandruff too. I haven't put that test to the test. So like I said, it's a natural insect repellent. You can also use some bay leaf tea to help settle your stomach if you're not feeling so great. You can use an Indian bay leaf. I mean, I think normal bay leaf would be fine, but if you can find Indian bay leaf, try adding that to a garam masala recipe. It just gives it that more, I don't know, I can't tell you what the flavor is. It just does make a difference. You can put your bay leaf into a marinade. So if you're marinating beef or chicken, pop your whole bay leaf in, take it out before you cook it. It's great. And it's great in, like I said, Thai or Laotian curries. So beautiful, beautiful thing to add. And now on to something that I think is quite interesting, and it's something I started last week, and that's kind of reviewing kitchen gadgets, things that we use a lot. And once again, if you have a kitchen appliance or gadget that you'd like me to test and that I actually have in my kitchen, please send us an SMS to 34519 or a Telegram message 061-895-1019, or you can call the studio on 087-055-1818. So the first one I'm going to do is this multi-purpose slicer. Now, I've had one, I don't even know how long I've had it. And I kind of stopped using it for a while, and then I saw it on TikTok, and I thought, well, let's give it a try. I've always used it as a tomato slicer. It's a nice big round thing. It's like a clamp. You put your tomato in, and you can run your knife down it. But then I was seeing on TikTok that they're using it for all sorts of vegetables. And when my egg slicer stopped working because the metal strands got a bit buckled, so it kept getting jammed, I used it to cut my eggs and, you know, use them as garnish and slices and things. But you can use it to cut strawberries. You can use it to cut any big thing into slices, anything round that'll fit. So it doesn't take up a lot of space, and it's really, really good. And it's just much tidier as well. You get your even cuts, so if you want it to look great. So things like mushrooms, kiwi fruit, and pretty much anything you can fit in it will work. And that's really nice. So one of the reviews I read was that this person is over 60, and she thinks this is the greatest thing. She said, because it's easy to clean, it's easy to use, and it just makes life easier. And then you don't have to hold your fruit or vegetable like carefully, and you get your slices. Like I said, I've had mine for I don't know how many years. Mine also has a locking mechanism so that if you put something in, you lock it closed and you don't have to keep squeezing the clamp closed. Obviously, if you're using tomatoes and stuff like that, you've got to make sure the tomato actually fits. The next thing that I wanted to talk about is something that I also have. It's a little herb chopper, they call it. So it's battery powered, but it's rechargeable battery, and it works on a USB. And you just put your garlic or whatever in, press the button, and it chops it all up beautifully. So it can only do small amounts, but it really, really is a good thing. Because if you're using ginger, you're not going to use more than 2 centimeter pieces. So you pop it in, press the button, and it's much quicker than trying to chop it yourself. So that's an important thing. And then if you're doing Thai foods and things like that, something like lemongrass. The last one I want to look at is silicone egg rings or any egg rings. Now, these things are supposed to help you create the perfect round fried egg. You don't have to use them for eggs. You can actually even use them for things like pancakes, something like that. It's great. Here's my problem. If you've put your hot frying pan into the wash, that cold water causes the frying pan to buckle. If your frying pan is not flat, those egg rings are not going to work because everything will seep out where it's not lying absolutely 100% flat. That is specifically with the steel egg rings. And you can see them anywhere. The silicone egg rings are a little bit better because they will sort of mold better, or as they heat, they're not going to melt, but they will take on more of a shape of the bottom of your frying pan. So it's important, something just frying pan health, is not to stick a hot frying pan in cold water. That is just really an important thing. Cool your frying pan down and then wash it. And especially with the non-stick ones, cool them down, take a little sponge with soap and water and just rinse it off. Don't stick it in the dishwasher. Don't scrub it. It comes off. If you've got stuff stuck to a nonstick pan, rather just let it soak until whatever's stuck on there comes off. Just some warm soapy water. Now, if you use the egg ring properly, it's brilliant. So what you need to do, though, is you need to heat up the pan first. You can, if you like butter in your fried egg, you can put a little bit of butter on it. And then crack your egg into, you know, or pour your egg into the little egg ring. And it sets quite quickly. Now, one of the things about the silicone egg rings is they are meant to be non-stick. The metal ones you have to spray, otherwise they will stick to the edge of your egg and defeat the purpose of your egg. So that is an important thing. So those are the three gadgets that I wanted to review. And you are listening to Adrian Bugatti.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
I'm Adrian Bugatti, and I've been talking about winter foods, foods that give you energy, that help boost your immunity. I reviewed the three gadgets so that if you want to buy one, or if you have it, you know if you're using it properly. Very important to remember that it is winter and we do need to stay healthy. Once again, I want to remind you to wash your hands regularly. Eat foods that are going to boost your immunity. So my all-time favorites, as I mentioned earlier, your garlic, your ginger, and actually any of the onion family would work really well with that as well. But definitely garlic and ginger are going to help boost your immunity. And as I said, when you're cooking your vegetables, most of the nutrients, if you're boiling them, are landing up in the liquid. So drink the liquid, which is why soups are so healthy for you in winter. That is all for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And if you have, once again, any ideas or anything you'd like us to talk about, SMS 34519, send us a telegram on 061-895-1019 or call 087-055-1818.